Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's back, people. Brentford take a bow in the big time. Spurs are going to get caned. Rom returns. This is the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. It's Friday, 13th of August. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Andy Russell.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Giddy as you like. Here's the Premier League again. It is, though. Have you guys noticed? Friday the 13th of August. Footballers, famously very superstitious beings.
Yes.
Do we feel like there's going to be some sort of impact on Brentford against Arsenal tonight?
With Arsenal playing 100%, more than 100%, absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I've always respected sports people who lean in to that and take the number 13. It annoys me that so many teams do without the number 13 shirt. I think lean into it, get it.
Mm.
Go get it.
It's weak, isn't it? It's like hotels. Some hotels don't have if they're taller hotels, don't have a 13th floor. That's true, isn't it? I haven't just imagined
that.
Well, they
do. They just don't number it 13.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm an idiot.
No, that's fair.
No, you're just
it's
not.
Just a gap.
You're just,
no, it's reasonable.
Just not a very good architect.
Yeah.
Just a gap. Can you imagine? Whoa, there's a reason why this 13th floor is quite unlucky, because the whole of the building above it is completely
Luke Skywalker standing in front of it going, oh, I'm getting really tired now.
Oh, yes, people, the Premier League is back tonight. What Andy Brassel are we looking forward to most?
The supporters mainly?
Yeah.
The supporters hopefully not being damaged by blazing hot pies at Brentford from what we've previously heard.
But we don't know if they've got the same pie technology as they used to have, though. That's the big question for the opening day.
That'd be a shocker of a Saturday morning news bulletin, wouldn't it? Supporters damaged by pies.
On the plus side, Brentford won 3-0.
Yeah, that's true. So we don't know if they've replaced their pie technology, but presumably everything's been replaced.
Presumably. But look, it's going to be so exciting because I don't know what you guys felt from the Euros, but for me, much of the sensory overload of it was actual supporters. Mm. The first time you're back in the ground and a goal goes in, oh my God.
Yeah. Again, the Rangers unreal, game in Europe, even though they ended up losing, when they scored, it was, I don't know, it's not like we've not seen goals with supporters in because of the Euros, but there was something about a team's supporters celebrating their club scoring that just hits different, I suppose you would say.
Exactly. You know what? They had already a Premier League years for 2021 on Sky the other day. I wasn't feeling it.
No.
For those reasons.
Yeah, it's
It's going to look really strange. It's going to be like when you see an old Premier League years and a club had a season where they were renovating a stand,
or Wimbledon playing at Selhurst Park.
Yeah, exactly. There's something off about it, and it's going to seem weird. And the goals don't seem as good, even though they are.
God, yeah, Brass. Of course. Sorry, I know this is Premier League time, but you're a bit of Plough Lane on Saturday.
That's right. Wimbledon playing at Plough Lane in front of fans for the first time since May '91.
Love it.
That's
it's
so
it's going to be incredible. Sold out against Bolton. I mean, they've just...
Fashion new on the score sheet.
funnily enough, Ian Wright spoiled it all by scoring a hat-trick for Crystal Palace on that last day. I'm over it now. I don't mention
famously
it
horrible
every
Ian
time
Wright.
I see him or anything like that. But they AFC Wimbledon have just sent me an email saying, Plough Lane guide for Bolton. Although the lane starts with a small L, so obviously that's ruined the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I mean, if you seem to have
I'll find a way to get over it.
You seem to have a lot of jobs, so I reckon you could be, proofreader for AFC Wimbledon as well in future.
Yeah, maybe.
With that eye for detail. How about you, Jim? The thing you're least looking forward to is Arsenal, you said already. So that's first up.
No, what I'm least looking forward to is hyperbole, I think. over-the-top meltdowns when, like, a fairly
happens,
reasonable
yeah.
slash creditable draw happens, and you'll agree with me on this, I'm sure, as we both live in the same North London purgatory. I'm not looking forward to everything being a crisis because modern football is so microcosmic now. But I am just looking forward to it all being back. I'm looking forward to there being a narrative. I'm looking forward to the smell of the pitch when you go to the games. I am just looking forward to so much of it. Heroes emerging, you know, someone who was previously a squad player having a good run of three games and then being like the best player you've ever had at your club, like all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yes. Yeah. I think the Saka, applause in the fake North London derby the other day gave a sense of hopefully the kind of spirit that what we'd like to see the spirit be of this Premier League
season.
Actually,
that's a really good point, isn't it? Because it would be brilliant if that were to carry on. If that sense of inclusion and that sense of standing up for what is right by supporting players who've been through so many terrible things would carry on. Football can be a force for good, and we've seen it over the Euros. And for that to carry on into the Premier League season would be brilliant, and let's hope we see that.
Yeah, let's start the season. I like how we're starting it with a sense of optimism. That's what we're here to bring you on the Football Ramble right up until Monday, I would say.
I mean, if you are going to usher in a new era, it really needs to start with David Hasselhoff singing on a wall, doesn't it, really?
Or like laying down behind a wall to block a free kick.
Being dragged by the mullet by Ruben Dias.
If you've got any similar predictions for us, do fill them out for us for the new season. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram and share with the hashtag RamblePredictions. Let's talk a bit more about Brentford against Arsenal then. So Friday, the 8 p.m. kickoff, Brentford back in the big time for the first time in 74 years. So 74 years ago, maths fans, was 1947. A lovely palindrome of a pair of numbers. Don't look at me like that, Basil. but it's so cool, as we've already said, about how they're going to have fans in their stadium that they've built, that people have been obviously in the last few months, but this is going to be a packed stadium and a London derby.
Yeah.
A battering in the offing. This is the business, isn't it? Jim Campbell.
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful that Brentford have managed to finally get there because they always sort of flirted with it, didn't they? And looked like it might not happen.
It was last season when in the playoffs, it was just crushing. Yeah. And then to see them all out there on the pitch at Wembley celebrating like that. And those strong Thomas Frank hugs. Yeah. And Ivan Toney with his millions of like lion tattoos.
Yes.
Oh, can't get enough of it.
I mean, it feels to me, I might have a very, very short memory, but it feels a long time to me since we've had an unfamiliar team in the Premier League.
Oh, definitely.
So, I mean, that's very exciting. Mm. I mean, fair play to Norwich for coming back up and all. But...
yes, of course. And nice to see you again, Watford.
It feels a bit like maybe Wigan. Wigan are probably the last team where it's like, oh my God, Wigan are in the Premier League.
Yeah.
All right.
No, maybe... Huddersfield, maybe.
Bit disrespect. Now what we're doing is disrespecting everybody.
Yeah, we're okay.
Sorry, Huddersfield, everyone. To disrespect you.
Sorry,
no, but I know what you mean. That did feel like a team kind of going against the odds and coming up. And that is exactly what it feels like here as well. And the exciting thing about Brentford, like maybe Leeds United coming up, is that they've got a defined style and they've got a story and they've got some great players as well.
Bielsa's nose is going to get put out of joint, isn't it?
Do you think?
Bielsa's not going to be everyone's second favourite.
Yeah. Oh, I think probably Brentford is everyone's second favourite.
Given that he is unaware of anything that's happening beyond his own spreadsheets, I think he'll be all right.
He'll be fine.
I mean, this is a man who's so unaware of what's happening around him. He did famously sit on a cup of coffee during the match, didn't he?
I'm sure Jim would empathise with that. I did as well. Did he burn himself?
When he sat on a cup of coffee.
It's a shame he doesn't do one-to-one so we can ask him.
Thomas Frank says, we are a bumblebee. See, he's buying into the whole concept there. I like it. They are not designed to fly, but we are still able to fly into the Premier League and we will constantly do everything we can to keep flying as high as possible.
Well, I think there he's started with a metaphor and thought, I'm all in now. I can't really back out of it. I think it's clear from that quote. I know nothing about nature. A bumblebee's really not designed to fly?
Yeah, I think that is true in the sense that their bodies are much...
designed at all, are they?
Well, apart from God's great design, obviously. But I think their bodies are so much weightier than the little tiny wings and the little tiny legs that it's just like nature's miracle that they're able to fly.
Okay, so it's like a Michelin blimp.
Yeah.
So are they going to line up with like a 2-6-2 formation then? Because I think they'll go down if they do that. He needs to get a better metaphor.
No, Pep knows
how he's trying to inspire the team.
Pep Guardiola knows you put all your best players in midfield. It sounds pretty sound to me.
Yeah, exactly. Pep Guardiola's attempt to win the Champions League with 11 attacking midfield players goes
11
on.
11 attacking geese.
Yeah. We'll get on to that. We'll get on to the geese. Don't skip ahead to the geese, Andy. What? That's going to be the highlight of the entire thing. Mikel Arteta has insisted that he is happy. He has insisted that's the written down words, not my words.
It's an Arsenal that I insist I'm happy when people ask if I'm all right. It's a familiar Arsenal trait.
Oh God. He insists he's happy with his squad. And he says that Arsenal have managed to do, in quotes, a few things in the market.
Mm. Well, he's also said that the market's essentially been broken up into two periods, which I think again it's come back to what we've been talking about in the last week about how I think the latter end of the window is going to be really, really interesting for everybody because you've got the super clubs who've essentially done most of their business. There's a few big deals that are probably still going to happen. Everything's going a little bit quiet because no one's getting money, so they're trying to get good
with
deals
some
late on.
Exceptions,
indeed. So I think this is just an element of that. People are getting angry that, you know, Arsenal got these targets that they're not, you know, they haven't signed yet. It's like, oh, why haven't we signed Auer and Odegaard and Maddison and
everyone? Yeah, well, that's a great question. Why not?
I meant to ask you actually about Aaron Ramsdale, because I've not had the chance to talk to you about this really, Jim, so far. A, would you be happy with Arsenal signing him? And B, what is the point that even though it's not your own money, you think, did we pay that much for him?
I don't think Arsenal were ever realistically looking at paying the fees that have been quoted. Because the upper echelons of it are 35 million.
Yeah,
there's no way they're actually going to pay that. They get, you know, pelters for it on Twitter, but, you know, it's not actually a real thing that's ever going to happen.
Sure, but I mean, a figure that's not that, but closer to that than they've offered.
So 20, 25. I I'm still very underwhelmed by it. I mean, the thing with, he does things that Leno doesn't do, but he doesn't do the things that Leno does do. It's like, you know, he's quite commanding on crosses by all accounts.
I thought you were going to say save League One teams from relegation. Yeah. He did an amazing job for Wimbledon.
But he's fine.
He did. Yeah.
He's okay. I don't think he's the level that that Arsenal need, because I think Leno will probably leave next season. So you want somebody to come in and challenge him.
It's almost like Arsenal are missing their old backup keeper, isn't it?
It is a lot like that. But you know, you got to make money. And they needed the money from Martinez to waste on underwhelming players. Right? What are you going to do?
Yeah. Thomas Partey won't be training for another 3 weeks due to that injury he suffered in pre-season. On the other side of the pitch, Brentford. Of course, they're the 50th team to be in the Premier League. But what will also be interesting to see with fans, which you've already mentioned, Brass, is the fact that last season, for the first time, top flight history, the home advantage didn't exist, right? So away wins outnumbered home wins for the first time ever. But I
guess the question is, has that permanently affected football? Because you look at the opening weekend of Ligue 1 last weekend,
right.
They had fans in, no one won at home. Not a single team won at home.
That's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, bizarre.
We will find.
Surely that will only be a temporary situation though.
Maybe never, no one's ever going to win at home ever again. I mean, quid's in for you guys tonight, right?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you've gone big on that, but let's see how it goes.
It's all about making daft predictions on the first day.
We are going to see Ivan Toney in action, says Thomas Frank. He is fit. And
Did he say it like that? He is fit. Ivan Toney.
Is that your impersonation? That's how it sounded. Oh, God. Well, he is fit, but he's also fit. I mean, how does it sound different stuff? Jesus Christ. I remember watching him at Peterborough, his fancy footwork. I wasn't looking at the rest of him.
He's brilliant. He's got huge potential to replace Jamie Vardy as my favourite player in the league.
Yes, I definitely think that's true. And also, I like that he said in his, you know, pre-season interview, he said that because he's won the Golden Boot consecutively, he was like, and I want to win it again this season. I was like, all right, Ivan. Yes. Do it.
Yeah, he also said, I'm going to have to start putting them under the stairs. I haven't got room. Yes.
I mean, you could probably get a bigger house.
Well,
from the sounds of things. He's just one of us in the end, isn't he?
Yeah.
Just with the talent. He scored 71 league goals in the past three seasons. All right, that is the first game. Let's get on to Manchester United against Leeds. Saturday, 12:30, the last time out. This was a 6-2 barn burner. And now, do the barns burn more brightly in front of fans?
Yeah, I think they will. Because
more oxygen, I guess, from the breathing.
It's Manchester
if a barn burns and there's no one there to see it, is it really flaming?
Depends who owns the barn, I guess.
I think this will be huge. Because it's Manchester United versus Leeds. B, because I have quite high hopes for Manchester United this season. C, because Southgate has made me so hungry for Sancho.
Mm.
I need my fix of Sancho. And I don't just need it this week. I need it throughout this season.
Yeah.
If Sancho doesn't have an incredible rip it up every single week season, I will feel unsatisfied.
No pressure on the lad then.
Mm.
It's classic media.
MSN.
Undermining the confidence of a fragile young player.
What's MSN? More Sancho Moore.
Something getting very horny on this.
It is, yeah. But genuinely though, this is one of the tides of the season, isn't it? We were all really, really looking forward to both of these games last year. And we didn't get to see it with fans in. So it's you forget what a massive deal this is. Man United versus Leeds in the Premier League. It's absolutely huge. It's one of the kind of notable fixtures, and we didn't get to see it with its full capacity.
Yeah.
And now we're going to see that, and it's going to be brilliant.
And it's going to have added Sancho in it.
Exactly.
So when do you think he's going to be straight out of the traps doing the business?
He should be.
No reason.
I mean, he's ready to be. He's not had a taxing summer in terms of minutes. He's had a few little unscheduled injury breaks in 2021. And the bits in between where he's played, his Dortmund form in 2021 was absolutely incredible. I'm not sure. I'll never get bored of emphasising that because I don't think people have grasped
Recognize it enough,
who maybe don't watch Dortmund on a weekly basis. He was amazing. He changed his diet. He changed his training regime. As I was saying before, he was doing runs around Dortmund at City Centre at like 5 in the morning.
Amazing.
Or maybe he was coming back from somewhere at 5 in the morning. Anyway, he was definitely running around at 5 in the morning.
Can go either way, that.
Yeah.
When does a night out become exercise? That's the question, isn't it?
Good way to burn it off, yeah.
Yeah,
I swim in the canal.
Either way, yeah, I think he's going to have an absolutely huge season and be a massive plus to Manchester United. The one thing that concerns me about them, because of course, anyone questioning whether Raphael Varane's going to be good over time.
Hasn't watched football ever.
Yeah. He's never faced a cross before.
Exactly. I think that the thing that's still a little bit of a concern is centre forward, because expecting Cavani to play 40, 50, 60 games a season is not normal. And, you know, is Martial ever going to get there? It doesn't look like it, does it?
No. And so Cavani for the first game, well, he's been.
Well, he's not around, is he?
Granted extended leave, so he's going to miss. He's definitely going to miss the start of the season. So I think that points out the problem immediately.
So presumably he's going to charge onto the Old Trafford pitch on a horse when he eventually does make it.
We can't wait. So it looks as though basically Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has solved two issues in his squad, and he's got one outstanding one. So he brought in Varane and he brought in Jadon Sancho basically, but he's short of a centre.
But I think they're waiting though, aren't they? Because there's not really anyone available to them now. If they wait a year, they can go in for Haaland. They can go in heavy, but like they're not going to get Harry Kane.
I mean,
Lukaku's been there. Like, who's Lewandowski would cost too much for the years he's going to have.
Yeah.
It makes sense for them to wait.
Haaland is going to be an incredible bun fight next year.
My God, yeah. I know. Because everybody seems to think that they're waiting around for him to turn up.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see, won't we? On the other side of the scale, on the other end of the scale, on the bottom of the scale, on a different area in the scale, Gino Firpo was Leeds' biggest signing this summer from Barcelona. He said this week that he's seen more videos of himself in 2 weeks than he did in 2 years at Barcelona. Aww. Oh. So they don't even spend their social media budget. What a disgrace.
Don't think that's what he means. He was massive on Instagram. He loves a reel. Trying to get him off TikTok.
Well, he's been busy getting his compulsory one-year contract extension sorted. Does that bother people?
It seems to, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But ultimately not him.
Yeah.
Which I think is where you need to calm down and not worry about it.
It's amazing how he can like just live life free while also being an elite level football manager.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have thought that was possible, really.
Well, you wouldn't have thought it possible that a man who spent his entire life in football and is now in his 60s and definitely financially secured doesn't worry about the future.
Yeah, I suppose. When is the cutoff supposed to be for when you just gaze out into the older years of your life without worrying?
Well, I don't know, but you'd definitely be in Weatherby to do it, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that your plan?
You trying to pay me off? Are you making me an offer?
I'm not in charge. I'm definitely not in charge here.
But Kate said it was okay.
Get yourself to the seaside.
Give me the bag.
You've been doing lots of fun projects and chatters over on OTC, haven't you, Brass?
Yes. Of course, we did a deep dive on Leo Messi, the fallout for Barcelona, what it means for Paris Saint-Germain. We also talked about the opening of La Liga and the Bundesliga, which are both starting this weekend.
Subscribe if you haven't already. It is over on Football Ramble Presents in your podcast app. Right. We're going to be talking about a couple more of the big ones this weekend just after this.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my dube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
It's kind of more sordid than I realised before. Now, welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betway. Me, Jim, and Andy Brassel in your ears today. Ooh, time for some of these.
It's Kate, Jules, Jim or Vish, Marcus, Luke or Pete the Tick. Andy might just read up one in show at footballramble.com. Email show at footballramble.com. Sven.
It's beautiful. It's really beautiful.
It is beautiful, but I always feel the need to like defend Pete's honour after that jingle.
Yeah, and also, Brass, you're going to read out an email. No, Jim's reading out an email,
yes,
isn't he?
From John Thomas Caprino, who, let's be honest, sounds like a made guy. He says, the conversation on Wednesday about how to make that man's newborn like Oxford instead of Leicester made me ask my cousin how she would do it. She's a PhD candidate studying developmental psychology.
So much highbrow listening.
I know,
right?
So I assumed she would be able to weigh in on this topic. She offered that basic colour association should be enough to sway a child's future decision making.
Right.
It sounds like there are plenty of Leicester kits laying around, wearing them to things like doctor's appointments, preferably the ones with large needle vaccinations. Careful. And when they are put in, when they're put in timeout, should be enough to associate that blue kit with negativity.
Right.
Wearing the yellow Oxford kit to get ice cream or go to the playground will create positive colour association. You do run the risk that the child might end up a Norwich, Watford or Borussia Dortmund fan. I don't think that latter one is really a risk, actually, to be fair. It might be enough to stave off the in-laws or give your child panic attacks whenever there's a home game in the city.
Oh,
so there we go.
Okay.
There we go.
Safety first, listeners, to the Football Ramble. This is incredible detail, John Thomas. I think it's incredible. I think this is brilliant. And is it okay?
Is it psychological warfare?
Yeah, is that okay?
Well, it's just...
Are you really asking, is
theory,
psychological warfare in parenting okay? Yes, it is okay.
Oh, yeah, sorry, why am I asking?
Can we move
Jim?
On?
Andy's parenting secrets.
Parenting dilemmas, send them in, but it doesn't have to be parenting dilemmas. We're looking for anything you feel like the Ramble team could give you a bit of guidance on.
Yeah.
Now that is a pretty wide ranging thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just any questions.
We can absolutely, we've got
not
you covered on
you.
What not to do.
Yeah, so that it could be useful in some respect, couldn't it?
Yeah,
I think so.
Because you write in, we tell us what we think. We tell you what we think and then just do whatever the opposite is.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Good job, guys. Email us at show@footballramble.com and you can also tweet us at Football Ramble and keep those predictions coming in as well. Talking about teams that are going to win the Premier League, possibly. Chelsea have officially announced Romelu Lukaku. That was yesterday. They sold him, if you'll remember, to Everton for £30 million back in 2014. And they've now bought him back for £97.5 million from Inter Milan. Bit controversial, I suppose, at Inter, but they've got money problems, especially given that they just won. They won Serie A. They've got rid of their manager. They've got rid of their top scorer. But hey, whatever.
Yeah, and I guess people will use the difference between 2014 and 2021 and the fees as evidence of some sort of profligacy.
Mm.
But actually, he is more than three times better than he was 7 years ago.
Great
and
point.
It's not like they've had a barren 7 years, is it?
No.
They've won a lot in that time.
Nor has he.
No.
No.
I mean, it's monopoly money, really, isn't it? Or not, like, almost literally, in a sense. Like, it's...
Well, what's that? Is the second... It's now the second most expensive Premier League signing of all time behind Grealish, which happened a few days ago, which is obviously £100 million by Manchester City. So...
I can't say bargain, but it does feel like decent value, I think, if Chelsea get the player that Inter have had over the last 2 years. It gives them an enormous chance of winning the Premier League and retaining the Champions League. And yeah, it's a good deal.
All right.
I would say that you know, it's one of those deals where they've made the most of Inter being a bit desperate.
So,
because in a different summer, Inter say, get bent, 200 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
And they're not able to do that now. The form he has showed over the last couple of years, bear in mind that he was already an excellent Premier League striker before he left here. And yeah, I know he had his issues at Manchester United. He's unrecognisable in those last 2 years. He's improved every aspect of his game. He's improved and worked on his body as well. He's a real team leader. 11 assists in Serie A last season. So not just the goals as well. And it's something that Chelsea desperately needed.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing we, you know, that we've endlessly talked about Chelsea is that they cannot finish, right?
I mean, if you'd have made Dortmund an offer they couldn't refuse for Erling Haaland, it would have been, if not twice that, nearly twice that.
Right.
Is Erling Haaland twice as good as Lukaku? No.
But of course, you're buying the future with Erling Haaland.
Yeah.
Whereas...
No, Lukaku's still relatively young, isn't he?
He's 28, isn't he? So you would think he's coming into his I suppose, peak years yeah. as a striker.
Yeah.
Although that said, I mean, you know, you look at players like Lewandowski and we are
strikers not just staying the same, but getting better yeah. in their 30s.
But strikers like him pattern, who play with it? Their back to goal. Giroud's an example as well.
Yeah.
And obviously it's a, you know, very different sort of level of productivity, but those players that where a big part of their game is link play, they do seem to last a bit longer. So Lukaku could be there for like into his mid-30s maybe. And I hope so for him. He's moved around for such a long time. He's a brilliant player. When we look back on the era in which he's played in, you will think of him as one of the top strikers in the world.
Yeah.
But you don't associate him with a particular club. And maybe that's how modern football is, where players move around so much. But it would be nice when we look back on his legacy, where you associate him with a team.
Yeah.
And I think... He's always wanted that to be Chelsea, as unromantic as it is. But it's quite sweet, in a sense, that he's come back there. He's got a point to prove. They've spent so much money on him.
Yeah.
And Jack Grealish said, like, he likes the price tag at Man City because it shows that they believe in him, which is quite sweet, isn't it? You don't really kind of think of it like that from a player's perspective. It's probably similar for Lukaku. Like, the fact that he didn't quite make the grade there because of the kind of basket case scenario of how Chelsea are with the way they move on young players. Mm-hmm. For them to then invest so heavily in him, he must go, right, this is it. This is what I've always wanted.
Well, in fact, they've valued him an enormous amount three times. Once when they bought him in the first place, two when they sold him to Everton for what was a lot of money at the time and a good deal for them at the time as well. And now again, when they're paying upwards of 100 million euros for him.
Yeah, Lukaku also holds the record for the fourth highest signing in Premier League history because of the 90 million transfer from Everton Manchester United. So yeah, he's not... okay, so that's a good point. Yeah, if it's only... Is he only £7 million better? Definitely not. Definitely not.
Definitely not.
There we go. You do the math. Yeah, he's...
No, I'm not going to do the math.
Yeah, please let's no one do the math. His combined goals and assists of... per 90 of 1.09 puts him absolutely miles above anybody he's likely to play with in his new Chelsea team. And also he comes back, obviously, as a league champion, which is exactly the sort of thing that Thomas Tuchel will want in the dressing room. So, yeah, we're going to come on to Spurs City now. I mean, City's still the favourites, I think, at this point.
What, for this particular game? I'm going to say so.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I meant for the Premier League. Assuming if the transfer window were to close now.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe. Well, no, I don't know, actually. I think now Lukaku's over the line. I think even that alone is the missing piece of the puzzle for Chelsea.
Yeah.
I think it might end up in a shootout between the two of them.
And we know they're going to win if they end up in a shootout.
I guess the question
hello, Kevin.
The question I have with Chelsea is, can that defence be as good as it was in the back half of last season for a whole season?
Yeah, okay.
Because you're assuming that like 4 months of excellent form from Rudiger and Christensen is going to hold.
The man behind
and
the
mask. I think that's a little bit of an assumption. I mean, they could do that again, but they won't necessarily. We haven't got the evidence to say, yeah, it's definitely going to happen.
Are you predicting the Tuchel breakdown? Because that's obviously going to be key.
Yeah, I think that's important. Clearly, he's going to get angry and look for some sort of board level conflict at some point. I'm going to say before the end of this season.
Right. So will it be enough? Don't know. Will it? Maybe just after he's already won the league.
I guess the question is, can he make it fall apart as suddenly as Mourinho did in 2007?
Yes.
That's what we really want to know.
That's how you prove you're a great
mark
manager.
Of true greatness. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly right. Okay, so sticking on City. And so City travelled to Spurs, hilariously. Harry Kane could feature after he came out of isolation yesterday. The questions remain about whether Nuno has spoken to him or indeed any of his other Spurs players. Manchester City apparently preparing a new bid of £150 million. I don't know what I think about Harry Kane. I don't see how he starts in this game.
He can't be fit enough, can he?
Because he can't be fit enough, and B, it's just...
Sorry, when you say he can't be fit enough, what makes you say that?
Like, well, because he's been away.
He's missed a load of pre-season and he's been in isolation.
Yeah.
Okay, but presumably he's...
I know
you know,
spent your whole of isolation doing sit-ups with them.
Yeah, of course.
For people like Harry Kane, it's actually quite hard to keep yourself in shape.
Of course, I mean, Harry can't step to me. Let's be realistic.
He's probably watching telly and eating biscuits, wasn't he?
Fit.
Yeah, but isn't it the sense of match sharpness and all of this and fitting back into your team?
Yeah, fair enough.
You think chuck him on?
No, I just wondered if we're getting caught up in the kind of soap opera of the kind of psychological impact of being linked to a team that you might then have to play against. But you're right, because he's been on holiday, hasn't he? So
he's been having a lovely old time. Yeah, I don't know.
Been at Disney World.
Yeah, it'd just be interesting to see, because the whole thing as well, you know, the whole point about Nuno Espirito Santo, what he's supposed to be great at doing is blending his squad together, is making people work together as a team, knowing their jobs, all that sort of stuff. And
despite not speaking to any of them, which is a real
specifically
talent.
Not speaking to two, but you know, you can see what that's about. That's about, you know, making that identity and that unit all together. And so, do we see him playing Harry Kane? He can't.
No, I don't think so. So he can't this weekend. No,
he can't. Yeah, and it would just be, oh man, I want to go and live in a different world where I go and watch Spurs and Harry Kane just is good and plays against Manchester City, who are, by the way, the champions.
But isn't
that not bullshit. Ready for the league to start? I can't. Weirdly, even though Arsenal play tonight, the idea that Spurs have to face City with all this uncertainty around the Kane situation on Sunday makes me nervous.
Yeah, do you remember when we tried to fix the transfer window, Premier League? Just got completely shafted.
Yeah,
I know.
It's crap, isn't it, that this is possible with the season starting?
Yeah, but it's because it's, you know, it has to be the same everywhere, doesn't it? So it was...
As it turns out, yeah.
I think it's probably better overall. Because if the transfer window shut today, it's only the English clubs that lose out, really, right?
I mean, and complaining about a chaotic, unpredictable element of a sport which is at its best when it's chaotic and unpredictable, I think is a bit weird.
Oh, really? So you actually think just no transfer windows?
Yeah.
Just constantly someone can be tapped on the shoulder. And...
Yeah. Oi.
Like the good old days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Just like leaving your kit, changing the taxi on your way to the new stadium. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Equally mad. Manchester City have got a documentary coming out about the end of last season. There's a scene. This came out before, I think. There's a scene about Pep Guardiola becoming fascinated with geese flying in formation.
Tony Soprano.
When he's reviewing some drone footage of training, he told his performance analyst that he noticed similarities between them and his squad's teamwork. So he's been learning a lot from the natural world, but also he's not been learning much from baking bacon butties. He sort of looks as though he tried a bacon butty for the first time and then looks as though he's going to vomit.
Yeah.
Which seems a bit harsh, doesn't it? Or is it because he just only eats lean meat?
Maybe it just wasn't a good bacon butty.
Yeah, is he vegan or vegetarian?
No,
because if people don't eat meat for a long time, apparently when you taste it, it's disgusting.
But he's not going to be like, oh, I've been vegan my whole life and now, oh, a bacon butty.
I remember trying to interview him in a mix zone after a Spurs versus Barcelona friendly at Wembley about 10 years ago. And he motioned that he couldn't speak because he was eating a ham sandwich.
Ah.
So I don't think he is a vegan.
I think ham and bacon are very different though, aren't they?
Bacon's much better.
I mean, he's obviously not that choosy because it was a proper like triangled like white bread, like not that nice British ham sandwich.
Eats triangles.
Oh, he had five of them strapped across his waist.
Information. I would love to play for Pep Guardiola.
But my point, like,
you come in one morning, he's going geese. Today we are geese.
You love that. That was your favourite bit, wasn't it, Russ? The geese.
I think so.
You want the ramble to fly more like geese?
Yeah. Well, we do anyway, don't we?
It's about interacting with each other, isn't it? That's what he's trying to say. If you moved, you know, they each other, you read what they're going
to
do.
What did Ruben Dias say to Edison when he shanked the ball out of play? That was a goose pass, wasn't it?
I grew up under a goose flight path.
Oh, yes.
Did you?
Yeah. And geese flying south is the funniest thing in the world. You hear it from miles away and then it goes above you and it's just absolute chaos. They're just honking away. It sounds absolutely mad and they do it for thousands of miles. So I mean, obviously I'm not a tactical genius like Pep Guardiola is. I don't know what you take from that. Like,
it's about interaction, isn't it? And he wants talkers. He wants more John Stones chatter.
Honking. I'd love it if Man City honked their way to the title. I could forgive where their money came from. For 90 minutes, just going, oh!
It's like calls in rugby as well, isn't it? It does sound not dissimilar. Yep. So I imagine that'll be instructive. When Spurs lose 3-0, 3-1?
Well, I don't know, Kate. I can't reassure you about that. I know that's, I can hear that's what you're asking for. It will probably
I think it'll be like,
fine.
It's a draw. Yeah. Okay. Phil Foden, Kevin De Bruyne are going to miss the game. So it's anyone's. It is anyone's. And another one to give a quick mention to as well. West Ham hosting Newcastle Sunday at 2 o'clock. Newcastle still haven't signed Joe Willock, but... they've got another signing, Jim.
They do. Santiago Munoz, which I promise I'm not making up.
I think you are.
Trying to loan him from Mexico.
You are.
What
Viz
strategy?
FC in flight. It's absolutely amazing.
What does that make you think about their transfer strategy?
They're basing it on movies. Oh, let's sign Gladiator. It's mad.
Surely someone life sat down in the boardroom and go, you know, the fans...
Underwhelming life imitating underwhelming art.
The fans want to be listened to. Let's look at the history of the club and see what we can do.
Yes.
Yes.
I think that is what it is. On loan from the Mexican top flight. They're not backing in with a permanent deal.
No.
That's just an FFP workaround, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure people were clamouring for his signature, but who knows? Who knows? All right then. It's time to get to Betway 4-2 score. It's the first one of the season. It's back. Entry to Betway's 4-2 score is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. All right, game one it is. Everton against Southampton, Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff. Jim has gone with who?
Theo Walcott, which might seem an odd choice, but I don't really know who's going to play. Like, it still feels a bit like pre-season, doesn't it? And I feel the narrative of, you know, playing against his old club to a club he's just signed for permanently, having been on loan and started his career at. I've gone for narrative rather than, you know, sense.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of all you can do on the first 4-2 score. It's just so hard to read what's going on. As we know, all the teams aren't even settled with who their vinyl signings will be. All right, Brass, you're up for Norwich against Liverpool, Saturday, 5:30.
I've gone for a very left field pick. I've gone for Mo Salah to open the scoring.
Keeping it mean and clean. You don't even need to explain that one, unlike usual. Coming up, we've now got Marcus down the line. Here we go. He's on Newcastle versus West Ham. That's Sunday at 2 o'clock. Here he is.
Hello, everybody. I think that Saeed Benrahma is going to open the scoring for West Ham against Newcastle United on West Ham's march to victory against those Magpies. Saeed Benrahma.
Oh, he's predicting the score as well. What a professional. Sounded like he was in a silk dressing gown, didn't
it?
The last game, game four, it is Spurs against Man City. That is 4:30 kickoff on Sunday. Like you said, Jim, hard to know kind of the full makeup of the teams. So I've just gone for Heung-Min Son. Seems like a guy who can score a goal based on what I've seen in the past. So the four picks are Theo Walcott for game one, game two, Mo Salah in the Norwich against Liverpool game. Marcus has gone with Saeed Benrahma en route to Newcastle getting battered by West Ham. And Spurs Man City, I've picked Heung-Min Son. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. You can play for free at betway.com/42score. Four is a number. Further T's and C's apply. 18 plus, and please do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. Right, ladies and gentlemen, and gentlemen in the studio, it is now time for the second ever round of Kate's Game.
It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it.
Okay, I've got the buttons in my hand today because the last time I did this, it was remote. I got decent feedback online. Pretty unkind.
Just not for this.
Pretty unkind feedback from Luke Moore, but I think he's nervous, probably.
Well, he's got high standards.
That the reins have been taken so masterfully.
Exactly, exactly.
Don't you agree, Jim?
Well, let's see.
I would say that would be a good moment to flatter me if you have any sense.
I missed my chance already.
You don't decide who wins, Kate. This isn't how the game works.
Well, I don't know. I've got the
You're
list.
Drunk with power.
I am drunk with power. There's not Herbert Chapman has already featured, and so we're not going to be having any of that stuff this time. But we have got an old boy to kick things off.
God.
First name Big, middle name. Oh bollocks! Who's going first? How do I pick? It's the start of a new season. It's the first game of a new season. So in that case, we'll just go with A for Andy. You can go first. Or do we think that's an advantage? Maybe he shouldn't have an advantage.
I don't know. We'll have to get an algorithm.
All right, Andy, you're going to go first. Based on strategic analysis. Right, his first name's Big. His middle name, Sam. It's Big Sam Allardyce. Ooh, so
naming his clubs that he's managed stroke coached
played for.
Yeah, this is Luke's game, not Marcus's game. Mace's game.
I wasn't aware what Mace's game was. So.
All it is it's me, and then there's one guy who's quite old to start things off.
Okay.
Previously, it was like a late 19th century player. This time, we've got Big Sam.
That's quite difficult.
He's got nine clubs, right? And his career from 1971 to 1992.
I'm going to start with two, I think.
I think that's legit. Don't push it too hard.
I'll go for three.
Hello.
I mean, I imagine everybody does this when you play.
You feel overconfident.
Luke/Kate's game, that you occasionally read the Wikipedia entry for a player and try and remember who the clubs are that they play for.
Just randomly?
And I've done this with Big Sam, but I can't really remember any of them. So I'm going to go for three.
This could be your moment, Jim.
It could be my moment.
You coming back in?
It's not going to be.
No, I'm not going.
That's not this. Come on, mate. This is a new season. It's optimism is going to be king here. I believe in you. Andy believes in you. The listeners,
I do.
I don't know if they believe in you, but they're not here. So,
So I'm going to go for three clubs.
Three clubs of Sam Allardyce's nine.
I'm going to start with West Brom, who I think he made one appearance for, maybe.
How on earth have you done that?
Because I remember when he managed them, he'd played for them before and it seemed like a returning, you know, player, but actually it wasn't that.
Just the one.
Blackpool.
Hang on.
Is in my mind.
Soz.
Spoiled me again.
It's all right. I actually, I was overwhelmed incorrectly by a West Brom thing, because yeah, that was quite gettable. But good effort either way. The clubs are Bolton, Sunderland.
Of course he played for Bolton.
Yeah. Millwall, Tampa Bay Rowdies. Classic. Just a little 11-game stint there. Coventry City, Huddersfield Town, Bolton again, Preston North End, West Brom, Limerick, and then he ended his career at Preston North End again. So those are the nine clubs of Sam Allardyce. We're going to come back closer to the present day, marginally closer. For Jim's going to go first on this one. It is Marcus Bent. He's got 15 clubs.
15 clubs, wow.
A 15-club man. These bigger ones are difficult, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because you feel like, oh, I must be able to get some, and then
again,
you flail around.
It kind of comes back to what we were talking about with Lukaku. We don't necessarily associate someone with a club.
Mm.
Marcus Bent is a perfect example of that. So I'm going to go 4.
All right.
I feel like...
Decent opening bid.
I find it hard to count beyond 5 without a pen and a paper.
Yeah, neither of I should say.
And I feel like I should know quite a lot of them, so I'm going to go 7.
Wow.
Oh, this is such a good bit of negging from Brass when he does that. Right? You're like, oh, I think, or I'm like, I think I'll do 2. And he's like, 16.
I'm going to do 8. And on the 8th one, I'm going to do a backflip. That's what you've done there.
So I feel like you're not going to be picking up from there.
No.
No. Okay. Here we go.
Charlton Athletic. Birmingham City. Blackburn Rovers. Leicester City.
A loan move. I'm not speaking. I realised I stopped speaking. But I don't need to speak because you're doing
so
well.
4.
I thought it was 4. I was trying to count and then I was trying to press the button.
Everton.
Yep.
Preston North End.
Preston North End, you say? Soz. Sorry to say, Andy Brassel, but you got to what? 5. You got 5 right.
I got 5, yeah.
Dear, he really played himself out of that game, didn't he? Because he could have just... Anyway, the clubs are Brentford's Crystal Palace.
Did I not say Brentford and Palace? Oh, what
no.
The fuck?
No, you didn't. It's outrageous.
God, this is very confusing. Port Vale, Sheffield United, Blackburn Rovers, Brassel's resigned, Ipswich Town, Leicester City, you did say, I think, did
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Everton, Charlton Athletic, Wigan Athletic, Birmingham City, Middlesbrough, Queen's Park Rangers, Wolverhampton Wanderers, Sheffield United, and a club I can't even say called Mitra Kukar. You won one. Come on, people. This is happening. This is the optimism of the start of the season, isn't it, Jim? Mm-hmm. We have got for 6 clubs. Mark Viduka, it's your bit, Brass, alas.
6 clubs?
Yeah.
Let me think.
I feel like he's... Oh, Jim, that's an unusual face from Jim.
4.
I don't know how to react to that.
4 from Andy Brassel.
Can't do 4 clubs with Mark Viduka. Come on.
Can't do 4. Come on. You're a disgrace. You, Brassel.
Again, I've miscounted and I could do more than 4. But anyway.
Oh, all right.
Oh, my God.
Now he's just showboating.
Yeah.
Come on then.
No, I'm just really bad at counting.
Just the 4. We could get you a pen, but not now. Just the 4 then for Mark Viduka and Andy Brassel.
Celtic. Middlesbrough. Leeds, Newcastle United.
Yes.
Turns out I knew all of those.
Everyone's wise.
Counting
after
is,
believe in yourself.
Counting is complicated,
here.
Isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
Everyone's wise after the fact.
Well, quite. Yeah.
All right, good job, Andy Brassel. You're 2-1 up, and we're going into a gym bid.
Mm-hmm.
It's another big one in terms of numbers. He's been in the news of late. We've discussed him quite recently on the pod. He is one Ravel Morrison.
Oh, wow.
12 clubs. 12 tasty little clubs. And Andy Brassel is counting on his fingers. He's got up to 5 if you need any help.
Well, I'll go... yeah. I'm going to go 6.
Come on, the man needs all the help he can get.
Outrageous.
He needs all the help he can get. Six for Jim Campbell. Andy Bressel, I've seen you count.
Right, I'm going to have to go seven to make it interesting.
But you are aware you only counted up to five on your fingers. Yes,
yes, I am aware of that.
But
yes,
his hands only go up to five. So we don't know what he was thinking.
My other one was in my pocket.
It's all mind games.
All right, then.
Manchester United.
Nice.
Ostersunds. Atlas.
Hello. Tick.
West Ham.
West Ham. Sorry, this honestly is quite hard.
QPR.
Yes.
Sheffield United.
Sheffield United. Cripes.
Middlesbrough.
Andy Brassel wins. Saw that one coming.
Yes, it's another big win for Andy Brassel to kick off the season. How are you feeling after that one?
Glorious.
Yeah, as you should. How are you feeling, Jim?
Vanquished.
Do you?
Yeah.
Did you not feel that way when you arrived?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of my thing, isn't it? It's sort of my vibe anyway. It's just confirmation of my own self-image, really.
Yeah, all right. So, in a sense, it's like the sort of, it's like a really predictable opening game of the season. Just get it out of the way. Yeah. And then we can move on to more exciting things.
Exactly.
So
is that how you're setting up Sunday for yourself?
I hope so, yeah. Well, no, actually, no. The really predictable thing is not what we want to see. Oh, maybe we do. I don't know. Anyway, good job, guys. Well done for your participation in the second ever episode of Kate's Game. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway, everybody. It's been great to see you. Say goodbye to the listeners, Jim.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Andy Brassel.
Bye-bye.
We'll catch you on Monday.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
is good with them, you know. And then we're way around the duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.